Amnesty International thinks that this peace agreement, I mean, we welcome it, but we think that it leaves many questions still open, and we are not sure about what it is going to do for the human rights of the people in Sudan, and we would like very much to see further measures to consolidate this peace agreement.
Benedict, Research for Human Rights was part of the power-sharing protocol of 2004. Why is that not enough?
The power-sharing protocol lists some fundamental human rights, but these human rights haven't been respected throughout Sudan for more than 20 years, and we are just asking for more serious guarantees to make sure that these human rights are going to be implemented. And for that, it would be very important to have a timetable for implementation and a benchmark to be able to measure whether these human rights are actually respected.
Won't the issue of human rights be a prominent issue within the National Constitutional Review Commission, which will be coming up soon to draft a new constitution? And do you not have faith that that body will take care of this issue?
This commission, according to the power-sharing protocol, is going to be composed of representatives of the current government, representatives of the SPLA, and some other political forces. It does not include civil society, it does not include women, it does not say that it would include human rights and legal experts, and we find it quite worrying that a constitution could be drafted by only representatives of the government and the SPLA, which we all know have been responsible for gross human rights violations.
What are your proposed solutions?
Well, we would like to see that this commission includes civil society representatives, women, representatives of human rights organizations which exist throughout Sudan, so that the concerns of these people are put on the table and so that they are being addressed properly.
Do you advocate, for example, a South African-style peace and reconciliation commission to investigate war crimes as one solution?
Some of the NGOs in southern Sudan are advocating for a truth and reconciliation commission. We think that that could be one of the proposals to address truth, injustice, gross human rights violations which have happened in the country, but we would like to make sure that such a process doesn't replace justice. And it is very important for us that the most serious crimes under international law, such as crimes against humanity, war crimes, torture, are not simply being given immunity. As you may know, the Sudan has been under a state of emergency for most of its 20 years. The current state of emergency, which was passed in 1999, has just been renewed at the end of December 2004, days before the peace agreement is going to be signed. And for us, it is a signal that maybe the Sudan is not ready to make peace. How can you pass a state of emergency when you're going to sign a peace agreement? We would like to see this state of emergency removed very quickly because it violates basic freedoms of the Sudanese people. And if it is still in place when there is a peace agreement, well, in this case, it will mean that peace means nothing for the Sudanese people.
It would be up to an interim national parliament, would it not, to make sure that those laws, including the state of emergency, conform with international human rights law.
If you look at the way in which the power-sharing protocol divides the parliament will be composed of 52% of representatives of the National Congress, which is the government's party, of 28% of SPLM people, and the rest composed of northern political forces and southern militias.